This past week, coming up to Easter, we were able to couple with them, and I told him that we would try to help him send out some letters, and so he sent me a written copy, and our college office got all those things printed and put them on real professional letterhead, and we got them mailed out to all the people that got saved. And wouldn't you know it, people got the letter in the mail, and they showed up at church on Sunday, amen. And so I told you before we went down, the church was running about 12 in attendance, and so this past Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. They had a special speaker, and we had put out flyers to that day as well, other than the revival meeting that we had while we were there. And so Brother Sean told me that two of the people that had received Christ came to church this Sunday, and they came and just were there. And then there's a man, he told me there was one man that's never missed ever since we've been down there, that started coming to the church and found the church because we knocked the doors. And again, we're hoping more will come, but again, he said we're 12 in attendance before we showed up, and now this past Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, they had 40 in attendance. And so that's a big deal, folks. That was a big thing for them, and he was excited. And so praise the Lord for that. And again, what we're going to do tonight, again, if you've not been here for Soul Winning Marathon type of testimonies, we did this last time. We've had a few selected individuals, amen, that went with us. And tonight we've selected some more. And some that you'll hear for tonight are not just college students or college, but they're church members. And we've always kind of opened it up for the church. And we've had some been able to take us up on that and take time away from work and come, and some from school and come and go soul winning. And so we'll hear from them tonight. And so I think Brother Steve Marilla is going to kick us off. He is from where? You tell us tonight. All right, is that too tall for you right there?
It's perfect size for me. So I'm Steve Marilla, all the way from Kenya, Africa. They call me Steve Marilla, Marilla the Gorilla, the one and only, you know. So it was just good to be there and go soul winning, you know. And Ben Parsons was my partner, and Miss Parsons and Yanut was my partner. So we just had a good time telling people about the Lord. But, you know, there's one that stood up on me. His name was Austin. Austin got saved, but he didn't get saved when we were there. But he just, like, he was away from the Lord, and he was saying how he just, like, the Lord dealt with his heart, you know, when we were there. Because when we were there, we had shouting and yelling, and he was yelling. Him and his girlfriend were yelling at each other and saying all these big words and all that, you know. So when Ben and I, when we were walking, he yelled at us, and he said, "This is not the right time for you guys to come here." And I yelled back, I said, "We are just from the church, and you need it, you know." And so when he said that, and when he yelled back at me, and I yelled back, you know, so it was just like yell and yell, and I said, you know, this is the day, you know. So he said, "You guys don't need to be here," and I said, "We need to be here because of you, you know." So he, after that, he just calmed down, and he started saying he got into an accident, and he got beat up by other people, you know, friends. So, you know, he started crying at that time, and I said, you know, "You don't need to cry, because you went away from the Lord, as you said, you know, but God cannot say, 'You just go away, I don't need you anymore.'" I said, "He will not reject you. He's always happy to see you back, you know." And he just started crying, you know, and I said, "Okay, you don't need to cry, but I will pray, and then my partner here, Ben, will pray." And he said, "Okay, that's fine." So after praying, I told him, "You know, you are born again and you're already saved, but what made you not come to church again?" You know, and then he listed all bunch of stuff. But, you know, I said, "What about if you come tonight to church? You know, you'll hear preaching, you'll hear singing, and you are already saved in that church. I hope you'll come to church that night." But he said, "No promises, you know." But his girlfriend was there. I think his girlfriend's name was Yo-Yo. And I was wondering, what kind of a name is that, you know? So at that time, I was like, okay, Yo-Yo and Austin, I hope you all can come to church that night. And it was just a blessing to see them to come to church that night, you know. So Austin came to church, and he was in pain because he had like a brace in his neck, and he was just in pain. But he stepped out, and I was like, where is he going again? So I followed him outside, and I told him, why are you going outside again? You know, you need church. And then he started crying again, you know, because it was just a pain. And he said, you know, this is the church, and I know it's just different. And he couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle the Holy Spirit with him. But I prayed outside with him, and his grandma took him back home. But a couple of weeks ago, I called him, and I asked him, how are you doing? How's everything doing? But he's doing good now. So just keep praying. And thank you very much, church, for just sending us over there and praying. You know, when you're on the long street and the sun is getting your head and you're wondering, how am I going to do this long street and all that. But it's through prayers. And thank you very much. Don't stop praying. Let's do what the Lord has done, has led us to do. So thank you very much, church, and thank you for sending us out.
Good evening, church. My name is Hannah Ball, and I'm from Germany. Oh, almost fell. Okay. Okay. This was my first soul-winning marathon. I'm a freshman at the college. It was a big adventure for me, and it was a blessing. I would do it again if I could. It was so much fun, and even though by the end of the week I was super sunburned and so exhausted, I would do it again if I could. I personally didn't get to see anyone saved, but I was teamed up with Becca Chamberlain and Brother Doug and his nephew Jasper. So that was a fun team. And Becca actually got to lead someone to the Lord. It was our first day. Her name was Bobby. And she was listening the whole time. Even though her kids' phones were loud and stuff, she would tell them to turn it down and go in the house. And she was really focused on what Becca was saying. And she prayed after that. And then Becca asked her again the question, so if you die today, would you go to heaven? And she was like, well, yeah, I think so. So Becca again tried to like explain to her, this is a one-time thing, a one-time decision. You need to trust God. And like, short again, like, put it together, like the gospel again. And then she prayed one more time, and she actually received Christ. So when Becca asked her again, if you would die right now, would you go to heaven? She said, yeah, I would. So that was really a blessing to me. It was an encouragement. And thank you, church, for all your support, and prayers. We really appreciate it.
My name's Aaron Sigmund. I'm a senior at the college. I'm originally from North Carolina, and it was truly a blessing just to be on Soul Winning Marathon and to participate in the Lord's will and the Lord's work. And I mean that as genuinely as I can. Last Soul Winning Marathon, I was sick for most of the week. I didn't get to participate in the soul winning as much, and I just believe that this Soul Winning Marathon, the Lord was really working in my heart that way, just to realize what a blessing it is just to be able to do His work. And my perspective on being able to win a soul to Christ has always kind of been that's a blessing that I don't even deserve. You know, we as humans, as sinful creatures, we don't deserve to be allowed to do that, and the Lord gives us that privilege. But this week the week of Soul Winning Marathon, He was just working in my heart that way, not just to realize that winning a soul is the Lord's work and we're privileged to do that, but just being able to go out soul winning is the Lord's work and we're privileged to do that. And I didn't get to lead a soul to the Lord this week this Soul Winning Marathon, but even through that, I believe that the Lord was teaching me that lesson. I believe He had a purpose for it. And even after that, we went on spring break and listened to a sermon. You can learn things away from college, believe it or not. But we were on our way to my nephew's. He had a football game. He's 6 years old, and he had a football game 45 minutes away from the house, believe it or not. But anyway, on the way, my dad, he put a sermon on in the car, and the preacher was preaching, and he got to preaching, and he was preaching about how Stephen was filled with the Lord and he got 3,000 stones, while Peter was filled with the Lord, he got 3,000 souls. All right. And he was preaching on that, and he said something along the lines of, you won't be truly filled with the Spirit the way those men were until you're willing to be yielded, until you're willing to be yielded to the Spirit, and until you're willing to serve Him, even if it means 3,000 stones and instead of 3,000 souls. And that really touched my heart. It hit home, and I believe the Lord had a purpose for all that. He was working in my heart that way, I believe, and just want to thank the church for sending us out. Like the others have said, I believe that you were part of every soul that was won. You were part of every blessing that we received, and just as much as we were in the work there, you were in the work because you supported us, you sent us there, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
Good evening, church. I'm kind of nervous. It's my first time talking to church, so I don't know. I'm a little bit shaking, so if I say something wrong, my apology. I apologize. Please understand me. So for those who don't know me, my name is Melody Tang, and I'm from Myanmar. I came 2019, and it was my first and probably be the last soul winning marathon. It was such a big blessing to be a part of the soul winning marathon because we never have experienced aside from here, I never experienced being like that. So it was such a blessing, as well as I have been trained a lot in here how to be a soul winner. To tell the truth, I have a struggling in dealing with people, talking to other people. I never really did that before, but after coming here to the Landmark College, it taught me a lot, and I have the courage to talk with people. I was wondering myself too, oh, the Lord have teaching me using this Landmark College. Landmark College is really a blessing to me and as well as all the students, I believe that. And so it was such a blessing to be in the Soul Winning Marathon, the fellowship that we had, and especially the food. Nobody mentioned the food yet, so I'm going to mention the food. Because we Asian love rice. Rice is life. So I did not expect to have rice or whatever, but one of these days the server told us that today's gonna be Asian food. I was like, amen, what a blessing. And I really enjoyed the food and all the, it was really a blessing. And of course, all the souls that save, those are really a great blessings. And partner, I was like, I think I am the most to have a different kind of partner. I partner with Miss Kelly. I partner with Miss Johnson. All the great people. I was like, oh, and Miss Bradley, and they were my partner. And Aaron and Nehemiah, they were my teammate. So when it comes to partner, I am not really good at, when it comes to like being so many partner, I am bad at the dog, I mean dogs. Whenever I hear the dog barking, it's not even come out. I'm out of control and run to the back of my partner, always. So I think I did that to all my partners doing soul winning marathon. So I feel bad, but thank you for bearing with me. And so it was really fun to have fellowship and be a teammate with them. And so when I was partnered with Miss Jensen, like, we talked to and we knocked a different kind of door, and we talked to a lot of different people. They were really listening to us, some of them, and some are not. But some of them are not really ready to accept what we share the gospel. Some told us that they will do next time or whatever. So we talked to a lot of people, but they're not really ready yet. Then we just keep on doing, and we met up with Brother Vasalas on the he came with the van, and I thought he's gonna pick up us. Nope, I was. He told us to keep on going until we saw the bus. Okay, so we keep on going and we keep on going, and we forgot to grab the water, and we were on the way and getting thirsty. But we just keep on. I feel like I'm walking on the desert. However, I'm walking for the Lord, and take courage. I keep on, and then we knock different. Door to door, and then nobody really responded us. But just before we headed to the bus, there was one last door, one last door that opened to us. There was a mother and a son. And the mother was really welcome to us. She talked to us, and Miss Johnson's the one who shared the gospel, and she finally accepted Jesus Christ as her personal savior. And she told us that nobody came to her door and knock and talk about like that before, and it was really a blessing. And we prayed the prayer, and after we prayed, the son told us that he was praying with us. And the son is like around 6 years old, and he tell us that he wants to go to heaven as well. So we make sure that we talk to him about that, and we pray. After that, finally they both got safe. And just before we left the house, the mother was asking us if we want water. We were like, oh, what a blessing. God provide us. And Miss Johnson, one thing Miss Johnson told me, it stuck in my heart that she said that she gave us water, but we give a living water, which is really true. And that was the last house that we don't expect it anymore. So Scott's miracle happened when we least expect it sometime. So yeah, the same thing goes to Miss Bradley in the last day. The last house, we got to talk to one lady, and she was the same thing, that saying that she really needed to hear that. And then it happened like most of the time, this is like when we already thought that no one gonna get saved for today or whatever, we already discouraged, but it always got really worse in a way that we don't know, we don't expect it. So we may be tired or we may be discouraged in some point, but let's keep on sharing the word of God and let's keep on doing God's word. Thank you, the church, and that's all. Thank you.
Hey, church, and my name is George Aiello. I'm a freshman, and I'm from Florida. This was my first soul winning marathon. It was truly a blessing. It really was. I just want to thank you, church, for all your prayers and support. We really could not have done it without your prayers. It strengthened us spiritually, and honestly, it strengthened us physically as we walked those long roads. It felt like 10-mile hikes sometimes. I was partnered with Jerry most of the time. Me and Jerry, we got thrown around a lot. I did too. But my prayer for the Lord was to let me lead someone, just one soul to the Lord. And I prayed that, and I planted a lot of seeds. Nobody was really ever rude, but we talked to a lot of people, me and Jeremiah, and we got to plant a lot of seeds. And then the last day, me and Jerry got split as a team, so I got split with another team. Preacher picked me up, Pastor Parsons picked me up, and he said, can you go with the girls and watch them? Because we were in a sketchier kind of neighborhood, so he was like, can you watch the girls and just walk with them? So I was like, sure. So I didn't think I was going to get to talk to anybody, and then it was kind of like a duplex housing. It was kind of in a horseshoe, and I was just standing there on the sidewalk watching the girls, and they were at the door, and they were talking. And it was with Miriam and Rose Vercellis, and they were just talking, and I was standing there, and this man came up behind me, and I didn't see him coming, and all I heard was, who's in charge here? And I was like, I was not in charge, but I was running security for the girls, so I just turned around and I said, can I help you? And he was like, you guys, and he kind of went off and he was like, you're not supposed to be here. And he kind of just looked at me and he was like, I'm going to call the cops on you. And you know me, I'm very kind, I'm very gentle with my voice. And I kind of just looked at him and I said, do it. And then he kind of turned around, stormed off into his office. He went to his office, and he didn't say nice words, because I'm not going to repeat them. And he kind of was saying some swear words about us, and he was like, there's a church out here, blah, blah, blah. And the teams, because there was the boys' team, Mark and Josh, were with the girls, and they were door knocking, and they turned around, and the girls looked at me, and the guys looked at me, and they were like, what do we do? I was like, go knock doors. I was like, we're doing it for the Lord. We got these people really need the Lord. And I was just standing there and I was doing security and I was watching the girls, make sure nothing happened. And I seen this this lady sitting on her porch, and I walked up there, and her name is Mary Smith. And I didn't really know what was going to happen. She had a bag of alcoholic drinks, and she was just drinking. And I walked up to her, and I said, I didn't tell her what I was doing. I didn't tell her where I was from. I just kind of told her where, you know, who I was, and I asked her how she's been. And then slowly I kind of got into where I was from, coming out of Bethel Baptist Church. And I led her through the plan of salvation, and she ended up receiving Christ. So I got to lead one soul to the Lord at that house right there. And I got to talk to her, and she just kind of started, she didn't really cry, but she started, you could hear it in her voice. She was very about to cry, and she just kind of gave me a hug, and it really broke my heart. I was just like, this was the Lord. And preacher came back around and picked all of us up, and then we got to the stop sign, about to pull out of the duplexes, and the girls were still up there at the last house talking to a lady. And he was like, hey, George, pop out, watch them. I'll be right back and pick you up. I said, sure. So I popped out, just standing there again on the sidewalk, just watching them. And that guy, he talked to you too. I don't know why, but he got in his car and he left. The guy who was going to call the police on us, he got in his car and left. Don't ask me why. I don't know. It was the Lord's work, I guess. He got rid of the distractions. And but it was a blessing, and I was just standing there, and I seen an elderly lady coming off the driveway, and she was walking on the sidewalk, and I just kind of went up to her, and I started talking to her, and I just said, my name's George, and her name was Deborah, Miss Deborah, and I got to talking to her, and I said, Miss Deborah, has anybody ever showed you how to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever? And she was like, no. And I said, is this your apartment right here? And she's like, yes, this is my apartment. And I said, you want to go sit on your porch and we can talk about it? So she said, yeah, let's go do that. So we went on her porch and we started talking, and I was leading her. I got about halfway through, and a little girl, maybe 6 years old, her name was Cadence. Little Cadence walked out, and I said, Cadence. And I said, oh, I asked for her name. I was like, what's your name? And she's like, Cadence. And then I said, Cadence, do you want to know how to go to heaven? And it really broke my heart. She said, what's heaven? And I was like, and it really burdened me. And I said, Kate, do you want to know what? And I asked her, I said, is this your grandma? She said, yes. I was like, you want to hear what Grandma Deborah's going to know? And she said, yeah. So she came, and I sat on the ground in front of the grandma, and Kate sat next to me on the ground. And Miss Deborah sat in her chair on the porch. And I got to lead two more people to Christ right there. And it really was awesome. It really was. It was. And preacher came back around, and I was like, I got two more people I got to lead to the Lord. He was like, amen, amen. And it was really awesome as my first soul in marathon. And I met up with Jeremiah later at the camp we were staying at, and I told him all about it. And he was like, no way. And I was like, yes way. And he was like, guess, and he told me, he was like, George, I prayed for you a lot today to lead someone to the Lord. And he was like, I was like, I needed that. So it was really a blessing. And we got a lot of the seeds planted, and I'm sure we watered some seeds from the past. But I'm just thankful for your church. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your preacher for taking us out there and all the staff that went with us. So thank you.
My name is Andrea Betancourt. This is my first year going to a soul winning marathon. First of all, I want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Parsons for letting me go. I was like begging my mom, I really wanted to go, and she like texted Ms. Parsons. She's like, can Andrea go to soul winning marathon? And she goes, she has to be 14 in order to go. And my mom's like, her birthday is that week. And she's like, okay. Ms. Parsons like, I have to ask my husband. And Mr. Parsons like, yeah, sure, she can go. So I was like so excited to go. And then, I got to go, and I was able to be with the best team. I was told to say that, first of all. No, I wasn't. Just kidding. And, yes, I was able to be with the best team. I was able to be partners with Juliana Bazillion. She was a really big blessing to me. She was very a person like that's antisocial. So it really gave me an opportunity to talk to more people. And the guys were Aiden and Dylan, and they were like, you know, encouraging us and telling us to keep going and stuff like that. But my story is I was able to lead one boy named Caleb. He was 9 years old my last day, and I was able to go up to the door, and I was talking to the lady, and she was telling us a story that her grandson just passed away like a couple months ago, and she was like telling us about him, and she starts crying, and that he got in a car accident with the semi, and he got hit and died. She was telling us that story and starts crying, and then I start telling her about the plan of salvation, and at the end she was like, oh, I've been saved before, but you can talk to my grandson about it, and his name was Caleb. So I was like, hey Caleb, do you know one day that if you were to die right now that heaven would be your home? He goes, no, I don't know. So I started talking to him. I was able to lead him to the Lord, which was a big blessing. And then I was able to fill out the prospect card. I gave it to Aiden, and he's like, well, praise the Lord. And then out there, he was able to talk to a bunch of little kids that were just out there. He gave them Chick Tracts, and they were all, like, reading them. And, well, that was a big blessing. A bunch of memories with non-soliciting doors, but I'm not going to talk about that. I really want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Parsons again for buying me a birthday cake on my birthday. Honestly, I didn't want to go to Sony Marathon because I thought I was going to miss my birthday with my mom. But she's like, you know, if you go, it's going to be so much fun. And it was a big surprise to me that you guys bought me a birthday cake. I didn't know you guys were going to do that. And but thank you guys so much for your prayers, and thank you so much for, you know, praying for us. And I want to thank you guys so much for letting me go. Thank you.
Amen. Hello, Chor. My name is Valentin Betancourt, and this is my fourth time I going in there souvenir. And well, I'm passing a very very good time. And Daniel is my partner, and Cheyenne Whitehead, and the other lady, I don't remember the name, but it's a beautiful lady. And I talked to a lot of people in there, and I put a lot of flyers in the doors, and walk a lot. And it's a beautiful place. Going in, the place they're sleeping in there is a beautiful place. Everybody in there is sweet. A lot of people. I think it's because everybody looking for something at church. I think for that reason, everybody listening in there. And I see like that. Everybody, not everybody open, but everybody, the people they have taught, the people put attention because for the situation what happened right now. So I'm finding a lady. The name is Abby, and she had eight boys and one girl. She's a very sweet lady. She is saved, so pray for that lady. And I'm saying I don't lose these opportunities when he's owning it, because so you know, Jesus died for me, and when the people say he's owning it, I say I'm going. I need to talk to somebody. So that's it. Thank you.
It's a great blessing to hear about the people that got saved and just all the different ones that got to go with us. And what a blessing it is every year to get to go and be a part of this. Somebody asked me, you know, just with taking the church, whether I was going to go, and I did not want to miss it for the world. Amen. I love being able to be down there and just being in the midst of it. And this year was unique. Not just because of the souls and where it was, and we had Pastor Carter preaching down there in Lake Placid, but just the place that we got to stay was just a blessing where we could kind of meet. We had a lot more in a hotel setting where we normally go. We just can't fellowship because we our fellowship gets too exciting for the other people around, and they can't, you know. And so for this one, we did stay in a large kind of a mansionish type house down there, and it was on a campground. And so the living room, when we all got in there, it was packed out, but it was a blessing to have a living room type setting and be able to have our devotions there, and for the students to be able to kind of hang out and to fellowship with each other. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 12. We did get to a good place, which is through chapter 11. Dr. Pitts preached Tuesday in chapel and said that the eternity of chapter 11 has ended, and we're heading into chapter 12. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that. I do understand it does take a little while when you're teaching verse by verse through a lot of things, and here as we begin chapter 12, in the last chapter, there was the book of Proverbs is centered around comparisons and contrast. It's going to constantly be trying to give us pictures or comparisons of things. And it's also going to be trying to instruct us as, again, if we were to go back to the early parts of the book, we would realize that, again, Solomon is trying to teach his son. He's trying to invest in him. So there's all this instruction. There's this, he's trying to impart wisdom into his child that, again, sometimes, if we could say it this way, you know, we can learn from anyone. You know, we don't have to make mistakes. We can stand back and watch someone outside of the church make the mistake and realize I don't want to do that. We can stand back and watch someone else and realize the hurt that has come up in their life because of disobedience or because of they did not heed the commands of God and the scripture. And so we can watch other people. So as we begin chapter 12, we've come out of this whole chapter that gives us its constant balance. It's constantly weighing things one way or the other. And he's going to begin with, again, a comparison, some contrast, but he's going to talk about instruction. Now, I just want to lay the foundation of the verse. Don't have a lot of time tonight, but I appreciated the soul winning marathon testimonies. I hope you were helped by it. Amen. And so one of the things that's important, especially when you get you to be a soul winner, when I got saved, I began my witness. The Bible commands God or Jesus when he left, commanded his disciples, the church, to be witnesses of him. The book last week taught us that he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I learned that when I first got saved, I could immediately be a witness of what God had done for me, that he saved my soul. But after I received instruction in the Word of God and where to take people, I had wisdom enough to show them and walk them through more than just what I knew I had gotten. But now I could take them through the Word of God and show them what they were going to get if they receive Jesus Christ. And so as we begin chapter 12, we finish with the last couple of verses about this tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. And now he enters chapter 12 and he's going to begin talking about instruction. For Christmas, we surprised our little girl. I told her in no certain terms in the car. She is my youngest child, and my wife has said several times that I have spoiled that child. And that was not my wife. And so, amen. But there is some truth to that. And again, if spoiling them, I want her to have some of the desires of her heart. And so she wanted a trampoline for Christmas. And I was against that. I know what that would do. I don't like to pay higher insurance claims or bills in my house. And so I knew that would be a problem. And so I told my daughter in no certain terms, there was no way on planet Earth that she was going to receive a trampoline. Pick again. Amen. Choose something else. Amen. And so we talked about that for a while. And after a little while, as Christmas got closer and it was close enough, you know, you can buy anything off your phone now. You know that, right? So I told my wife one day, it just had gotten to me. She had asked several times and I was holding my ground of no. And I said, honey, I feel led to buy her a trampoline. Amen. And I said, I just want to surprise her. I don't want her to know. I know that she is continually asked about it. She has told me how it could be safe, and she has told me all these different things. And so the trampoline came to the house, and my sons and I put it together. I put it together at least three different times before I got it right, because I finally took out the instructions. Now, she could have jumped on it at any time. I knew how to put a trampoline together so that she could jump. But to make it so that the net kept her safe, so that all the parts were in the correct place, that the person who engineered the trampoline, so that it was the way he wanted it. When I started, I had a trampoline and she could have jumped on it, but the net wasn't on to protect her and keep her in it. And the way everything needed to lock together, I had to finally break down and read the instructions and then apply that knowledge that I gained from the instruction manual to the putting together. And when it was done, there was a beautiful trampoline that was safe for my daughter. And everything was, and she could jump and jump and jump, and everything was fine. She was in an enclosed net that was prepared, that somebody had designed to keep her safe. And so when we apply that to the Word of God, God has given us a wonderful instruction manual. And if we apply, think about if we apply that instruction manual to winning souls, it teaches us how to do that. It helps us walk people through, not for them just to receive Christ, but for them to have assurance that they have Him. It helps them with all those different things. If we apply it to our lives and our own jumping through this life and the trampoline of life, if we could apply it that way, we can see that God's instruction helps us have knowledge to apply the Word of God to our lives, and we can walk through this life. And it doesn't mean that the storms, listen, folks, you realize in Luke chapter 6, there are people that build upon the rock. Jesus says there'll be people built on the rock. There'll be people that build upon the sand, but the storm will come for both of them. But it's only those that have laid the foundation deep through instruction from the Word of God. The houses may look the same on the outside, but when the storm comes and it beats against the house, only the one that was laid by the right instruction on the right foundation will last. And so here, as we open chapter 12, look at verse 1. He says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge." He couples. This is a comparison, but he's saying, if you're going to love instruction, I've been around some people that don't love instruction. He said, you're going to love instruction, then you're going to love knowledge. Now, I want to know things. I don't want to spend this life being silly. If I could say it even beyond that, I don't want to live this life just not knowing some things. So look at it with me. He finishes the verse with this. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but change in size of the street, great comparison, he that hateth reproof is brutish. So again, if we were to take the 1828 dictionary and just lay out some foundational words, what is instruction? All right, now lay this out for the Word of God. Think about this and listen to the words that define the word instruction. Direction, order, command, mandate. Think about where we just came. Do you think that the Lord made a mistake when he put his word together? He that winneth souls is wise. Now I'm going to take instruction because I have direction, I have order, I have a command, I have a mandate. So I need instruction in my life because I want to go in God's direction. I want to have order in my life. I don't want chaos. God is not the God of chaos. He is a God of order. He set everything in order in this universe that we live in. He gives commands and mandates that I want to follow. The act of teaching is what in this idea of instruction. It's the act of teaching or informing the understanding in that which is or was ignorant. That means I was ignorant. Ignorant of what I was supposed to do. And now I've received instruction and I can act with the mandate, the direction, and the order that God has given me. He goes on, he says, so if I love instruction, receiving instruction, then I'm going to love knowledge. Knowledge is learning. I'm going to love to receive. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to receive instruction so that I can have knowledge, so that I can, the word in the 1828 dictionary means learning or illumination of the mind. When I learn, when God shines his glorious light upon the Word of God and I get something that God's got for me, I ought to love the instruction God gave me. And when I apply it to my life, everyone can see that I have true knowledge. Amen. He goes through this and he says, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. The word brutish, I always thought was like, I tried to think of it as brutal. That's where I wanted to try to put it in my life. And someone that hates reproof, the idea of reproof, and I thought, you know, what is reproof? So I wanted to define, you know, this idea of reproof. It is, and again, a lot of times we don't, you know, most people don't like to be reproved, folks. Most people don't like, and this is one of the things that reproof is a part of instruction. When I am going in the opposite direction, if I'm standing still, then everything's good. I can get direction and move on from there. But when I'm headed in the opposite direction of the way God wants me to go, then when I receive instruction, I am reproved. I'm made to turn around from my direction and head in God's direction. And so reproof is simply this. It is blame expressed to the face. The preacher is commanded to reprove and rebuke. That's part of his commandment. He's supposed to instruct. There are some things he's supposed to do. So sometimes people don't like it because they're brutish, the Bible says. They're getting instruction, but when they receive it, because they're headed in the opposite way of the Word of God, to them it is reproof. And sometimes when we're outside of God's law or God's moral law, we need to be reproved. We need somebody that's got some backbone to say, you were wrong. You're outside of the bounds of this church and what this church believes and the way you ought to go, and you need to be reproved. And I'll just tell you this. Do you know that the people, I get off on it sometimes, and I realize this, you know, spanking your child is probably would fall under reproof. It's laying blame. You did wrong, and you need to do right. Quit doing the direction you're headed in and get back on the direction you ought to be in. So again, even in the structure of the church, somebody has to stop some folks and go, hey, if you don't quit this, you can't be a part of us. You know that the Bible lays out an order for the church and the way people are supposed to be reproved? And if they will not repent, then we're supposed to put them out. We're not supposed to let people live the way they want to or go the way of the world and sit inside the church house. So when the preacher reproves, whether it's in the auditorium or if it's in a counseling session, he is supposed to look at it. This is what the word means. Blame expressed to the face. To censure for a fault. Reprehension. That censure means he's saying we are going to limit your availability to what God has blessed you with in the local church if you will not repent. That's what it means. That's what reproof is. Brutish. The word brutish, you know, it's in context. I always thought it was brutal. It is part of it. But folks, listen, when we think about instruction and knowledge, that's the context. So God uses the word brutish as an opposite for instruction and knowledge. So you look up the definition, it says insensible. I didn't make this word up. Webster's Dictionary wrote it in 1828. Stupid. It says as a brutish man, unfeeling, savage, gross, carnal, bestial, brutish, brutal, ignorant, uncivilized, and untaught. When we have been given good instruction from the Word of God, and we love instruction and we love knowledge, that sets order and direction to our lives. The opposite end of that spectrum is to act brutish. When someone who loves you, that could let you go and let you do and let you live the way you want to, steps up in front of you and says, that's enough. You're going against the direction God wants for His church and for His people, and somebody rebukes you, reproves you to the face, and that's the way the Bible says it's supposed to be done, folks. I don't like these cell phones. If I'm going to sit down and talk with you, I want you to see that I love you. And I want to reprove somebody. I'm going to do it with witnesses according to the Word of God. And I'm gonna say, we love you. We want you to get this right. According to the Word of God. He goes through this and then he deals with this. He deals with all these different things about being brutish and reproof. And then he begins and he says, a good man. Constant comparisons. He's going to say that there's instruction. There's instruction and there's knowledge. And the people love that. And the opposite is they're going to hate it. They're going to hate that because they love reproof. Right? No. The man that loves instruction loves reproof. The brutish man is the one that hates reproof. He's the one that in a counseling session doesn't think there's anything wrong. And he runs out of the meeting. I've been with several different men, and the men that love instruction, usually when somebody like David, King David, somebody walked in and said, "Thou art the man." He didn't run out of the room, he broke down. Because he loved instruction, he loved knowledge, and he realized, I am that man. You called me out. You spoke to me about, listen, and the man of God walked right into the chamber with the king and said, "Thou art the man." He reproved him to his face. Listen, folks, you may think that somebody doesn't like you because they tell you the way it is. Until you're outside of the Word of God and you're not doing what's right. But that person loves you enough to meet you face to face and say, "You're doing wrong. And we need to make it right." Folks, tonight, you know, we soul winning marathon. Well, what a blessing. You know that winning souls, we could say, well, how many of them really got saved? How many of them that prayed really are going to go to heaven? I could give you the count that we got, that we had names on a card for and things. But only heaven's going to count up who really got saved. But God's count's good enough for me. I don't know the count, but I know this. I know there was a bunch of people that were faithful to witness about Lord Jesus Christ. And some people really bowed their head and received him. And some of those people, when we get on it, and even if it was one, it was worth the trip. Now tonight, it's a little late, but I got something we need to take care of. I'm going to pray, and then we have somebody that wants to get baptized tonight. Amen. I think we ought to take care of it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for times in my life where good men of God have met me face to face and told me that I needed to get something right. I thank you for them. I thank you for the good people that instructed me to receive reproof so that I could be a good man, a better man for the reproof. God, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. If there's some area of our lives that we need to make right, I pray, God, we'd do that. I pray we'd look in the Word of God for instruction and knowledge. Tonight, as we look to you, God, and we think about those that would join our church tonight, God, we pray that you just bless us. Help us, God, as we work towards Sunday. Help us, give us a great kite Sunday on our buses. Bring us back to this place and bless us, God, with all the spiritual blessings that we need. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to let you be seated. And we don't normally do this, and I just because of time, we didn't work to an invitation. But Miss Savage, I know this is outside of that. Would you come on down? And the church needs to vote on you tonight. Do we have anyone else that was going to walk the aisle tonight for baptism that you didn't tell me about? You're welcome to come now. Amen. All right. This is Miss Savage. She's been saved. And her children are already part of our day school, and they have been saved and baptized and are members, and she would like to join them as a member of the Landmark Baptist Church through baptism. If you're a member and you'd like for her to be a part with us, would you raise your right hand in symbol of that? Amen. And so carried, unanimous. All right, Miss Savage, thank you so much for coming up tonight. And Brother Burt, why don't you come and lead us in something while they get ready? And he's going to lead us in something.
I just want to tell you all. Turn me off.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
He walked away. Maybe they left this one on.
Go ahead.
All right, let me tell you, just thank you. I know that they spoke to the fact that the church helps, but just let me, people have said it over and over again, but out of all the churches that I would want praying for me, this is the one I want praying for, man. When we go to Soul Winning Marathon, I thank God you can feel the prayers, and we thank God for that. And again, there's so many. We have missionaries here tonight and other folks that I really believe would not be able to be in our meeting if it wasn't for the prayers of God's people. Amen. All right, Brother Burt, come on.
Amen. 132, going right along with what we've been talking about tonight. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. 132. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right.
a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword, and darkness shall turn to dawning, the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord reigneth above. Thus his Son to save us and show us that God is love. Show us that God is love, and the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Maria Savage, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life.
All right, let's stand together. We're going to dismiss you, but first we need